Am I going to make it through? We hope so. Good morning, church. It's good to be with you. We've been called to be here in this place, to be God's body, the church, by the Holy Spirit. And not just to be the church when we gather here on a Sunday morning, but to go out into the world and be the church wherever we go and whatever we do. And I'm sensing within the church a longing to do more with that time that God gives us. I'm sensing that from among you, that we're kind of restless right now, looking for what's next on the horizon. Where is God calling us as a church to go and to be active in our community? I don't know if you sense that amongst yourselves, but I sense that. One of the things that I'm thinking, trying to find my place in that calling with you and to walk along with you as we do that. One of the areas that I'm very passionate about and called to serve, I think, is with parents of children with special needs. As you see, it's at the forefront of our everyday lives. One of the challenges that we face as parents of children with special needs is isolation. Isolation, which means all the other kids go out and run and play and go to the playground. Well, we take our kid to the playground, but we have to adapt. You know, there's a difference there. And for a lot of families, that difference that can lead to severe isolation where you don't know where to fit in. And so one of the areas that I feel passionately called to is to try to form some community among the people here in Winbur and around the area with parents who are in a similar situation to us. And so beginning in July and then continuing for who knows how long, could be years, the last Saturday of the month in July, going to have a time of gathering every month for parents in our boat, for parents of children with special needs, to come and to be able to share those stories. You know, there's a uniqueness that we want to, find common ground with some fellow brothers and sisters who are on this walk together with us. So that's something that is in my heart, to try to reach out to the community, because that's a community that can be very isolated. And we'll have to reach out. And so I'd encourage you, if you know people who are parents of children with special needs, whatever that need is, cerebral palsy, Down syndrome, autism, all of those things that, make parenting difficult, to come and be a part of that. Last Saturday of every month, going to be about 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, somewhere in there, I would think. No one signs up for this. We ordered the regular child, and we got the special needs child. But there's a lot of ministry that could take place there. Another area that I feel the Spirit moving is we have a sign out front that says Sunday school at 10:30, and we don't really do anything there. I'm going to beginning in July. The first Sunday of the month, immediately following worship and after the announcements, to have a time where I will meet with the elementary age children, if they so choose to come and be a part of that, in one of the Sunday school rooms, probably the middle Sunday school room, elementary age children, first Sunday of the month, immediately following worship. To see what takes place there, to see what these kids, I don't know a lot of the kids. I want to know them better. And so that's an opportunity, first Sunday of the month. Second Sunday of the month is Donut Sunday. Yeah, can't do anything there. It's Donut Sunday. But the third Sunday of the month, I would like to meet once a month with the high school-aged children. Same place, same time. So I can get to know them better as well, and we can see what sort of community we can form with the kids. Make sense? All right, so those are my ideas. And you have a lot more ideas than me, because there's a lot more of you than there are of me. But, if you have those kind of ideas, Let's start to bring them into some sort of reality rather than them just being dreams, okay? Sound good? All right, let's talk about eunuchs. There's a segue for you. They always say the art of a good message is in a segue. Let's talk about eunuchs. Let's go to the scripture this morning. The ancient book of Deuteronomy. Ah, this is a fun one. This is a complex scripture. This is a complex scripture. Deuteronomy can be a complex book, but we serve a complex God. And so sometimes God's word can be challenging to us. And that's okay. We're going to talk about this today. Listen for God's word to you through these ancient words today. Deuteronomy. No one who has been emasculated by crushing or cutting may enter the assembly of God. Ouch. No one born of a forbidden marriage, nor any of their descendants, may enter the assembly of the Lord, not even to the 10th generation. Ouch. No Ammonite or Moabite or any of their descendants may enter the assembly of the Lord, not even to the 10th generation. For they did not come to meet you with bread and water on your way when you came out of Egypt. And they hired Balaam, son of Beor, from Pethor in Aram Naharaim to pronounce a curse on you. However, the Lord your God would not listen to Balaam, but turned the curse into a blessing for you, because the Lord your God loves you. Do not seek a treaty of friendship with them as long as you live. Jesus is the word of God. Thanks be to God. What a challenging scripture this is. It's challenging for our 21st century minds because we are used to living in the era of grace. And this writing is from the era of law. And it's complicated, isn't it? It's challenging for us. We are used to God welcoming everyone. And yet this passage of scripture seems to be limiting God's grace to a certain group of people, specifically the Jewish race. And yet, Jesus claims that these words, in fact, the entire Old Testament, these words speak about him. These challenging words speak about Jesus. These exclusionary words speak about Jesus. These words that exclude these people called eunuchs and these foreigners, Jesus says, those words speak about me. It's difficult to understand because God is not like us. Think about that. If God were like us, how awful the world would be. God is holy, and God demands holiness from God's people. We know God only because God has chosen to reveal God's self to us. First, through the creation, we look at the created world and we see someone has created this. We look at the created order all around us and we know that there is somebody who made this all. We get an inkling of who God is through the works that God has made. And then God has revealed God's self through the scriptures. Both the Old and New Testaments point us to who God is. But the ultimate expression of God revealing God's self to us is found in Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, that word becomes flesh and lives among us. In Jesus Christ, we receive the fullness of God. Jesus is our priest and our prophet. Deuteronomy reveals God's law. It's priestly writing. Jesus, as our priest, claims those writings as his own. And Deuteronomy helps us to understand how do we relate to a holy God. A God who demands holiness from God's people. You see, unholiness separates us from God. And we come to know this unholy activity as a word called sin. And sin cannot exist in the presence of holiness. Law punishes sin. Law shows how unworthy we are to be in God's presence. And yet, in Jesus Christ, God welcomes the outcast. God welcomes the sinner. God even welcomes the eunuchs and the foreigners. Now, what's up with these eunuchs? These poor, poor eunuchs. Well, first of all, if you wanted to serve in the royal household, if you were a servant and you wanted to serve in the royal household, you had access to the king and to the queen. And royal bloodlines are very important. And so to make sure that the royal line was pure, anyone who had access to the queen had to lose a significant portion of their anatomy in order to be able to serve so that the royal bloodlines would be pure. There would be no doubting if there was a royal offspring, whose offspring that is would belong to the king. Well, in Jewish culture, the way that the Jewish people understood God's kingdom was through their children. If you had children, you had a future. You had a stake in God's kingdom. And so the more Jewish babies you had, the more opportunity, the more grace you build up for yourself in the future of God's kingdom. And so rules were put in place to make sure that you had as many Jewish babies as possible. And you limited the amount of other, no foreign marriages. Because a foreign marriage wouldn't create a Jewish baby. Had to be within the Jewish bloodlines. Homosexuality won't produce any children, so that's out. Incest won't produce a healthy offspring. It eventually will produce some serious health issues, so that's out. Anything that would reduce the chances of producing healthy Jewish offspring, hopefully boys, is out. And so, in Deuteronomy, these eunuchs, guess what? Either by choice or by demand, have lost the ability to produce Jewish offspring. And so, they're cut off from the kingdom. They're cut off from the kingdom. Not my words, it's in the scriptures. So, we have these people. They are cut off from the future of God's kingdom. Foreign people won't produce Jewish babies. They're out. Well, you might think, we have Jesus. And so, grace comes with Jesus. But friends, grace comes long before Jesus. By law, they're excluded. But by grace, they are included. Grace is God's righteous activity toward us. We can't approach God because of our unholiness, because of our sin, but God reaches out to us in grace. The prophet reveals God's divine initiative toward us. God, the ultimate expression of God's holiness leads to holy relationship with God, even to those who are supposedly on the outside. Do we have Isaiah on the board? Did you get that in? Oh! There was going to be this great moment where Isaiah 56 appeared on the screen. It was going to be wonderful. I got to do everything around here. Isaiah 56. If you have a scripture, do you have the Bible? Feel free to break it out. This is what the Lord says, Isaiah 56, verse 1. Maintain justice and do what is right, for my salvation is at hand and my righteousness will soon be revealed. Blessed is the man who does this, the man who holds it fast, who keeps the Sabbath without desecrating it, and keeps his hand from doing any evil. Now, This is Isaiah. This is Old Testament. Let no foreigner who has bound himself to the Lord say, the Lord will surely exclude me from his people. Reversal. And let no eunuch complain, I am only a dry tree. Reversal. For this is what the Lord says to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose what pleases me and hold fast to my covenant, I will give to them within my temple and its walls a memorial better and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name, and I love Isaiah's turn of phrase. I will give them an everlasting name that will not be cut off. You're allowed to laugh. And foreigners who bind themselves to the Lord to serve him, to love the name of the Lord and worship him, all who keep the Sabbath without desecrating it and hold fast to my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and give them in my house of prayer joy. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. Sound familiar? The sovereign Lord declares, he who gathers the exiles of Israel, I will gather still others besides them, besides those who have already gathered. That's Old Testament. That's Isaiah. It's prophetic words, speaking of a future in which God's kingdom is open to all, in which grace has overcome the law. The eunuch is not cut off forever, but receives a name forever. And there's no excuse for racial exclusion in God's kingdom. God reaches out to the outsiders. God reaches out to us. And God will include whoever God wishes to include, clothing us with Jesus' own righteousness. You see, Israel should have recognized Jesus right off the bat, because Jesus was the Word. Jesus, walking among them, was both high priest and prophet. Jesus could say, I am the law. And not a single word of that law will be done away with. It'll be fulfilled in my name. And yet, in the law, you receive a snapshot, a portrait of Christ's holiness, a portrait of God's holiness. When we were having the boy, we got a sonogram, and we put the sonogram on the refrigerator. We loved that sonogram. We saw the Brian had Kristen's nose before he was even born. And yet, when the real thing came, we put the sonogram away, and we enjoyed the real thing. In the law, the Israelite people had the sonogram, the image of the one who was to come, whose name was Jesus. But they put the baby aside and they kept the sonogram. They put the baby aside and they kept the sonogram. They lost the real thing who was in their presence, and they clung to the picture. We do the same. It's easy for us to look at ancient people and say they had it wrong, but would we have done any better? Because law is easier. It's straightforward. If you look like this, if you had this done to your body, then you were out. If you didn't, you were in. Very easy. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. If you take my eye out, I get to take yours. That's easy. It makes sense. And it's a lot more simple than forgive your brother 70 times, seven times. I'd rather just take the eye and be done with it. But God says, forgive them. Law doesn't cost God anything. God can simply say, do as I say, and we have to do it. But grace costs God everything. Grace costs God everything, even to the cross. Law increases the depth of our sin. I see people drive on this highway at 100 miles an hour all the time. And yet there's this clearly posted sign that says the speed limit is 35. That sign doesn't do anything if you choose not to follow it. but people do it all the time. The law makes them lawbreakers, but grace frees us from sin. In fact, it allows us to be able to follow God's holiness, to receive God's holiness. Law cannot empower us to obey, but grace sends the Holy Spirit. Law makes us servants. Grace makes us heirs, family with God. And law is a circular racetrack. Picture in your mind a circular racetrack. Those cars can obey all the rules all they want. Are they ever going to get anywhere? Nope. They just keep going around in circles. Grace is a journey, a path that leads us closer and closer to the heart of God. And so, what do you want from your relationship with God? Do you want law or do you want grace? Because if you want to cling to the law, Paul says, be careful when you do that. Because when you want to cling to the law, you have to obey it all. Grace says, Jesus, in his blood, has paid it all for you. God's mercy is not up to us. God will include people into our ranks who we'd rather not be there. God will include people who don't look like us, don't talk like us, and don't think like us. God will invite the outsiders. God will invite those who think they are without hope and offer to them his hope. Who do we exclude? Who do we exclude from God's grace? Who do we deem unworthy of God's grace? And who, when God brings them in, would we be the gatekeepers and say, no, everyone's welcome, but not you. But not you. Be careful of that. Because you're sliding into law when God is offering grace to all. God is still in the gathering business. Thanks be to God. God loves you. God loves people who aren't you and don't look like you and don't think like you and don't talk like you. God loves them. God loves you, and so do I. Amen.